Thank you, Mr. Ferrier, and good morning, brethren. Welcome to all of you, to our guests, and any visitors that we may have. Let's start off today's message just hard and heavy. Turn to Matthew 25, verse 1. Matthew 25 and verse 1. We're going to read a portion of this parable, and then we're going to divert a little bit. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, it's not my intent today to rehash who the virgins are, for there are many messages that already exist that cover that topic very well. But the end of verses 3 and 4 is where I will focus and where we will also depart from what I believe is the common outlook regarding their vessels and their lamps. I know it's a little early yet, but I'm not really checking to see who's napping. I just want to ask and pose a question. In reading this parable, how many of you envision the lamps and the vessels as something the virgins are carrying with them as they go out to meet the bridegroom? This is not a test, and it's not right or wrong, because all I'm going to do today is offer a different perspective on those two elements. Now, I submit to you, I too have thought that most often when I read that parable. But I would like to submit that in so doing, it limits our understanding and outlook with respect to us as the virgins and to our very calling. We have all heard and no doubt know that we are the disciples of Christ and are referred to as the lights of the world. So it should be no stretch, brethren, for me to say that we are those lamps. And by extension, we are also the vessels of oil. They're not something we just carry along through this life, but it is what we are to be in this life. If we view them strictly as something we carry with us, then, well, I'm afraid that we risk the possibility of setting them aside, of potentially misplacing them, or even losing them. That would not be good. So that when the time comes to really drop all, because there will come a time when we will have to drop all other worldly pursuits and responsibilities and go out, really go out, to meet the bridegroom. We heard last week from Mr. Tuck about the place of safety. Something we've not heard of many times over the years, at least not in recent history. But we need to be ready to do that, and that is the ultimate test of our faith and our trust in God. Can we pack it up and go? Will we be ready? As we move forward in this message, I think it would be fair to state for clarification that we have the greater understanding from the Word of God that oil is used synonymously with the Holy Spirit. And let's remember that as we consider the contents of our vessels. So today, brethren, I would like to play a little word game using the word oil as a springboard. Now, this isn't going to take form of an acronym because there are far too many aspects of our calling and our service to God that three words alone cannot possibly portray. Instead, we will look at a few word elements, if you will, derived from the letters in oil. We will review some of the many scriptures that speak to these individual elements and hopefully see that their application in our walk with God is of paramount importance. And by reason of their use, we thereby allow God to provide us with more of His Holy Spirit as the vessels of oil. So let's start Number one, the letter O. Now, I've been accused in the past, and rightly so, of speaking a lot about the first fruits. I stand guilty. And I do, because when I look out over this sea of people, today maybe more it's a small pond, but that's what I see. Those of you, like me, who have been called out of this world to understand this very precious truth. So each one of us here have been given opportunity. That's our first word today, opportunity. To respond to God's calling, to wash out our old dirty vessels through the baptism. And as we respond in heartfelt commitment to that calling, to take up our own cross and follow our Lord and Savior along the path of righteousness on into his everlasting kingdom. We lay hold on that opportunity. We should lay hold on that opportunity. Turn, if you will, to Matthew 14. We're going to read verses 16 and 17. Matthew 14, verses 16 and 17. And this speaks to this very thing. So turn, if you haven't already, to that scripture. Matthew 14, verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say to you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. That should be familiar. I believe I used that scripture in my very last message. But it is the opportunity to have the age-old question answered, what is the meaning of life? But more does this opportunity provide than just that knowledge. Because as we commit to living this life, pursuing the Word of God, we are presented with other numerous opportunities to show our great God just how much we appreciate the calling he has set before us. We'll cover some of those here in a moment as we explore our 12-word list, so that will give you a clue. Each element we look at can be considered an opportunity for growth. Yes, we have been offered an opportunity, brethren, to pick up that pearl of great price. And while we are admonished to count the cost before making that commitment, I dare say that none of us really knew or could even have understood what that commitment would mean to our lives. But when we take that plunge willingly, in so doing, we are brought to the second word of the day, obligation. Number two, obligation. To live out our lives in service of the very God of creation. You can turn to Romans 12. We're going to look at verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That speaks obligation to me. And Ephesians 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation to which you have been called. That obligation is followed closely by our third word, which I believe the two go hand in hand. And rather quickly in our journey, we find that we need to respond with obedience. Obedience. To learn and apply the teachings of our Lord and Savior as he came to reveal the Father and speak to the coming kingdom of God. He spoke to his disciples of old, and in like manner he speaks to us today in Luke 6, verse 46. Luke 6, verse 46. And why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? That definitely denotes obedience. They recognized this, for when challenged by the authorities of their day to stop preaching this Jesus and the truth that he brought, they responded, and we can read their response in Acts 5, verse 29 and 32. Acts 5, verse 29 and 32. Then Peter And the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And again they testified to those in their day and for us today as well, that we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those whom obey him. So a direct correlation between obedience and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Another scripture, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 5 and 6. 2 Corinthians 10, 5 and 6. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Obedience. And what does that bring into the picture? Well, many things for today's purpose. But let's move on into our fourth O word for this day. Overcoming. Romans 12, 21 speaks to our overcoming. "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." That's a lifelong process of diligent commitment to run the race that has been set before us, to put away the old man and his sinful ways, ultimately with the goal to reach that point where we just read of in 2 Corinthians 10, bringing every thought into subjection into the obedience of Christ. It's a tall order. You can write down the following scriptures. We don't have time to turn to every one, and there is much yet to cover. So write it down and maybe consider it later. 1 John 2, verses 12 through 14. And, of course, Revelation 2, verses 7, 11, 17, and 26. Once again, Mr. Tuck began covering that in Revelation 2 last week at the Sabbath Bible study. Each of those speak to those who are overcomers and the reward that they will get. For our last scripture under this element, let's turn to Revelation 12, verse 11. In talking about the first fruits, God inspired the Apostle John to write these words, "And they overcame him," speaking of the adversary, "by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to death." Overcoming. "For as we shed and put off the old inner man, we should be transformed in our very minds, overcoming our many sins, and bringing about a level of," our next word, "outgoing concern." Outgoing concern for others. It's part of the very nature of God, who from the beginning of the foundations, before the foundations of the world, developed and created a plan through which he could share all that he is with us as his very children, the sons and daughters that will share the eternity he has in store for those who love him. But I sort of get ahead of myself. Everything he does for us is a means to an end. And once committed to be part of that plan, we too should be no different in our approach to each other. Not just those who, like us, have been called to walk this path, but also to our fellow man that we deal with every day, being those lights that we are called to be. One scripture before we move on to our next set of words, 2 Philippians 2, verse 3. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." What can we learn from each other? What answers can we get to our prayers and our questions that might come from some other source? We have to be open to that, and we need to treat them with the respect and dignity that God also treats them with. We must, regardless of their attitude and approach to us, show that same respect that we ourselves would wish to be treated? Can we not see how our Heavenly Father cares for them and loves them as well? Remember always that we are the vessels of oil. So on to the second letter, I. Our sixth word of the day, instruction. Proverbs 8, verses 32 and 33. Proverbs 8. Now therefore hearken unto me, O you children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. There's that hint of obedience again. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse not. Through all the messages we receive and by our individual Bible study of His Word, we receive that instruction from God. Through our application in life, in our application of the life we lead, we grow and develop within us the very mind of Christ and of God. As He sees us working towards that end, He will respond and provide us with more of His Holy Spirit that we may yet accomplish even greater deeds. Be open to and seek His instruction, the very word that is that instruction. Another familiar scripture, 2 Timothy 2, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished to all good works. Instruction. Seek it. Cherish it. Our seventh word for the day, let's consider interaction. Or one could say our service to others. Here again, we see opportunity arise. Galatians 5, verse 13. Galatians 5. For brethren, ye have been called to liberty. Only do not use that liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. There's plenty of opportunities within a congregation of this size or any size to serve each other, whether it's in conversation, whether it's in tasks, however it is, we have that opportunity and we should seize and build that interaction of service from God to our fellow man. We are not to keep the previous understanding we have been given to ourselves, but we are to admonish those to use that understanding and power from God to assist and tend to those needs. There is tremendous, tremendous growth in service, for it builds the very interpersonal relationships. That'll be number 8. Interpersonal relationships that we need to become a family, to become brothers and sisters. We show God that we are developing His mind within us, bonding us together as those brothers and sisters. As we interact with each other of like mind, we hone each other's understanding and develop that outgoing concern that we looked at earlier. Do you see a pattern of overlapping developing here? It's not by chance that these elements contained within oil are blended together as one in God, for God is one, and His Holy Spirit is within us. Our proper use of it will help us to develop that most necessary element of all, building an intimate relationship with Him. That's our next word, intimate relationship with God, and some will develop among each other. We're not all going to be best friends, but we should all care and love for each other as fellow members of those called by God. I once heard someone relay an outlook or perspective that they had heard in some seminar, on the word intimacy. I'm not sure what the actual origin is, but I found it a fascinating perspective. Regardless, their play on this word was to help better develop our understanding and approach to the meaning of that word. It was into me see. An interesting perspective indeed. For God sees deep within each of us, deeper than any of us would really like to acknowledge. And no doubt more than we really want to see about each other, save maybe our mates. But it is his hope that we develop that same desire to see into him in like manner. After all, he wants us to become as he is. So as we continue to learn by his instruction and the application of his word, in every aspect of our lives, we can grow in this element, intimacy. If we diligently seek to know him, he will respond in kind. James 4, verse 6. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hand, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He will respond if we show effort and provide us with the very power we need to accomplish the task he has set before us and fill us as those vessels of oil. Now we're going to move to the third letter, letter L. For our 10th element in today's word game, let's look at law. Ooh, ominous. There is so much written with respect to the law of God that we do well to continually strive to learn about it and to make it part of our very being. And for this element, I will refrain from interjecting too much of my own thoughts. I will read some of the numerous scriptures I found relating to this element and how we should view and treat it. This is by no means an exhaustive list, for there are far too many to cover in the amount of time here today. But I will do my best to move slowly. However, time is ticking away, and I must move somewhat quickly. I will pause momentarily to allow you to write down the chapter and verse before reading each one. Joshua 1, verse 8. Joshua 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but you shall meditate thereon day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. And for you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Law and to do. We come back to obedience once again. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on this law does he meditate all day. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever soever he does, shall prosper. Almost sounds like a millennial setting, tree by the water. Psalm chapter 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. Speaks to overcoming. Also speaks to instruction and learning. Romans 2, verse 13. Romans 2, verse 13. For it's not the hearers of the law that are just before God, but the doers of the law that shall be justified. Again, doing, active, obedience. Romans 7, verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, that which I learned from God, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Again, speaks to our ultimate goal of overcoming and putting out the old inward man. And of course, James 1, verse 25. James 1, verse 25. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Again, doers. Law, the very foundation of the plan of God. As we're told, it's based on the law and the prophets. Obedience and application. Number 11, long suffering. Nobody wants to hear about that. But this too has been covered many times, and we are admonished to endure through our trials and the difficulties that we face as we walk this path of righteousness. It seems the bottom line to any of our trials and tribulations is to learn to trust in God, that He is intimately involved in our lives and cares for each and everything we do to bring us to that end goal. We are told in Scripture that it builds character, and the more we endure, the more we are equipped to take on the greater challenges as we work towards the fulfillment and the end result of our calling. Ephesians 4, verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Again, that interpersonal relationship, caring about each other, caring about our problems, sharing our problems and how God has helped us to overcome those things in our lives. It is not my intent to address this element any further here today. I bring it up because we must work to develop it and put those trials to use for each other for our greater purpose. Because as we share our experiences and trials with others, again, we build those interpersonal relationships that can help each of us gain a better perspective on how God deals with and supports each of us through life's tribulations. Galatians 5:22, we should all know this. Here it is listed as one of the fruits of God's Spirit, which after all is really the main topic of this message. Lastly, brethren, would be remiss without love. Love, number 12. John 15, verse 10 speaks to our love. If ye keep my commandments, there's obedience again, you will abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. 2 Corinthians 13, we're not going to read that, because it's a whole chapter. We call it the love chapter. It explains in quite detail how we should view the love that we have and are to be growing in. And again, while there is far much to read here today in the time allotted, I would ask that you read through on your own time and glean the instruction that it provides. One more here, a few more. Colossians 3, verse 14. Above all these things, put on charity, love, which is the bond of perfection, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, to develop within us the very love of God. Now, this is another message altogether, but I'm not talking about our love for God, but the love of God that should dwell within us, the love that comes from Him, that He exudes and shows towards all. Galatians 5:22, love. It's listed as the first fruit, pun intended, of the Spirit. 2 John 1, verse 6. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment that, as ye have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in. Again, doing, active. Most of the Scriptures also speak to our continued obedience, as we have seen. Ephesians 3, verse 19, as our last. Ephesians 3, verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, in some versions it's rendered all understanding, that ye may be filled with the fullness of God as the vessels of oil. In conclusion, brethren, we have been given a most precious gift, the opportunity not only to know but to be part of the great work of God, creator of heaven and earth, and what he is doing. That knowledge brings with it an obligation to act on what we know. And through our obedience to his word, we are reminded of his plan and what it means for the future of all mankind. We walk along this narrow path he has laid out before us, striving to overcome our very human nature and develop within us his very nature, a nature of outgoing concern for others. As we seek his instruction, we grow in our knowledge of him and become better equipped to walk the walk and to face all the challenges that may lie ahead. Through our personal interaction and dedication to our life of service, first to our brethren, and by extension to our fellow man, we build those interpersonal relationships that allows iron to sharpen iron and strengthens the whole body. All of which will serve us in building that intimate relationship with our Father and with each other, the relationship he so desires for us to have with each of us. Learning to love his law and how to apply it in our lives, allowing it to define how we walk this path of righteousness to which we have been called, and long-suffering through all our trials and tribulations and the hurdles we face along the way, for they serve to build within us the endurance and proof of the growing love of God that should be within us. Love is the end result. Although we have separated them here today in these few moments, and for the ease of review, they are truly as one within the oil. They cannot be separated. We must use them and use them all as part of that oil. All these elements and more too numerous to list are part and parcel of our growth and our future as the priests of our Lord and soon coming King. Our Father is doing an awesome work in us. And we will learn, and as we learn to apply these elements in our walk, God will show, and we show him, God will, that we have the open hearts and minds needed to allow him to fill us greater with his Holy Spirit. One last scripture as we close and consider all the things we have looked at here today. 2 Peter 1, verse 10. 2 Peter 1, verse 10. Therefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. Kind of takes us back around to the whole first fruit theme. But rather than going back, brethren, let's go forward from here, hopefully better equipped to be the vessels of oil. And let's be about our Father's business.